This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Good to have you with us. I'm Mitch Teich. A city's built environment says a lot about the priorities of the place. Behind the scenes, new development reflects the public-private deals getting done and the flow of investment dollars. As part of WUWM's Project Milwaukee series on economic development, we hear today from a man who was on the ground floor of Milwaukee's most recent urban renaissance. These days, Peter Park is manager of community planning and development for the city of Denver. Denver's mayor lured him away from Milwaukee, where he was city planner under former mayor John Norquist. Norquist and Peter Park ignored conventional wisdom, adopted the principles of new urbanist development, and took on revitalization of blighted city neighborhoods. He tells Jane Hamden his perspective on urban planning is different in a fast-growing city like Denver.
My perspective, it's interesting because so much of what we worked on in Milwaukee was focusing on employment, on development. For example, fixing our zoning code and organizing our department and improving our planning so we could really guide and attract investment in the city. And contrast that to my experience in Denver, where we are growing and the pressure of development is pretty significant, especially in the city and in many of the established neighborhoods in the city. So there's a bit of a contrast there. But in both cases, I'd say that one of the significant keys to, I think, to development in cities is, as Mayor Norquist always advocated, we need to build cities on their strengths, on their inherent strengths.
Well, that's an interesting contrast that you draw, because in Denver you're trying to curb growth and make sure it's responsible growth. Here you might be focused on attracting growth. So what are the strengths of Milwaukee as you perceive them now, looking back?
Well, the strengths of a city like Milwaukee is that, you know, the physical beauty of the place, the quality of the construction of both the civic infrastructure and of the buildings really, really give you a chance to, you know, sustain a culture of a place. And I think also Milwaukee is a place, as a culture, is a place of very hardworking people and very dedicated people. And so, to me, you know, the combination is very powerful, in fact. What happened in Milwaukee, I think, that happened in many other cities, is there continues to be a rediscovery, if you will, of the city, of downtown, of the many great places like Brady Street or the Third Ward and Walker's Point. My recent visit was, you know, it's just amazing what's happening there and neighborhoods in and around downtown. And, you know, I think that bodes well for the city. It has a lot to offer in terms of employers being able to attract the best and the brightest. The question is, you know, how do you continue to sustain and continue to build on those strengths and convince investors and convince employers that this is, you know, a good place to be? And I think Milwaukee has got a great amount to offer in that respect.
Well, you're talking about the legacy of hardworking people, the beauty of the lake, but all these things, they don't attract investment dollars. And it's cold here, and there are no mountains and no ski resorts. So, you know, what's the best way to sell a region, particularly a place that a lot of people probably haven't visited?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. Whenever I talk to somebody about Milwaukee, they always describe it as, you know, when they visited it, it was a great place, like as if they weren't expecting it to be a great place or something. And they're very, very impressed by what the city has to offer. I think that these are inherent strengths of the Midwestern and industrial city that one doesn't need to apologize for. You say this is what's great about the city. And if you think about many of the small businesses, incubator businesses, businesses that have really thrived from a creative class, folks who are really interested in design, interested in creation of new things, and just contributing to the overall quality of how people live and, you know, where they eat and where they're entertained. It creates a place that I think in our near future will only become more and more of a draw, both for young professionals. I think one of Milwaukee's strengths is you get a lot for your money. I mean, it's a very high quality place and it's a very high quality lifestyle, but it hasn't gotten really, really expensive as the sticker shock I experienced moving to Denver. But I also think for the baby boomers and, you know, empty nesters, if you look at the housing market downtown, for example, near downtown, there are demographic trends that are happening in our nation that are very supportive of cities, and especially city centers. And to me, the changes that have been happening in Milwaukee are consistent with what's happened in other national trends, but it's also consistent with our population nationally. On the regional scale, I think the same is true, and that is to say, more and more American cities are understanding that they don't exist in a vacuum. They exist as part of regions. Now, one of the things about living in Denver, I mean, it really is a central place. It's not for hundreds of miles before you encounter another major metropolitan area. So the regional perspective in Denver, in Colorado, and its place in the nation and in the world is perhaps a little bit, a little easier for us to define here in Denver. Because Milwaukee is part of sort of the mega region of Chicago. But at the same time, transportation and water are significant motivations and reasons for there to be greater regional cooperation.
Let's talk about transportation for a moment, because one thing that's happened in Denver in the last 10 years is investment in light rail, and that's an idea that's kicked around here and rejected and tried again in Milwaukee. Is there a difference between a community like Minneapolis and Denver that can take this idea that some would say is progressive, has to happen, and turn it into reality, make the investment, restructure the highway, and make it happen?
Right. Well, I think part of it is how you structure the conversation. For example, in Denver, there's been enormous amount of growth pressures. And certainly as there was an increase in traffic congestion, people were searching for alternatives. And that's where, you know, rail, light rail in our case, and enhancing the bus transit system comes into play. Because obviously it's much more efficient to carry people on mass transit than on individual automobiles on freeway.
So it's a tougher sell in a city that doesn't have terrific traffic backups.
It could be if the only way you talk about it is transit as an alternative to driving or transit as an alternative to highways, which is, I think, not the way to do it. Again, it's a common way that it's done, but frankly, what we're working on now that the decision has been made to expand our transit system, is what we're really trying to change the conversation to is what's the opportunity from a development side.
So at every one of these stations, you have different opportunities for new stores and restaurants and that kind of thing.
Exactly, and creating new places around transit. And so it's not so much about whether you drive or whether you take transit. It's a question of, are you for choice? Are you for mobility choice? In other words, I could drive, but I could also take a train or a bus. And that's, you know, interesting, because in the United States, we think of ourselves as a country of freedom and choices. But in fact, when we build everything around the automobile, it assumes that everybody drives or somebody will drive them. That's not choice. That's actually really limited in your mobility.
So here in Milwaukee, are civic leaders and advocates of rail transportation framing this the wrong way?
Well, I think it's a difficult one to frame, because in the past in our country, most of our conversations about our federal transportation dollars have been primarily about who's going to get it to build more roads, right? But what we also know is that expanding lanes on freeways only creates more congestion. It doesn't actually provide any relief. It provides temporary relief, but if you have real growth in a region, all it really is going to do is induce more congestion. So what I think the opportunity, whether Milwaukee or any other community who may be thinking or trying to talk about transit, should focus on is, well, what kind of places can you make around transit? And especially, I think, in a region like Milwaukee, where the tax base is primarily driven in property tax. So development and investment, obviously, are a pretty significant factor from an economic development point of view. The opportunity to create more density, to create more variety, to create unique urban places around transit is a very strong strategy, because those are lasting. And if you think of Milwaukee, if you think of, you know, so many of the favorite neighborhoods around the city of Milwaukee, these are all streets that, embedded in the DNA of the city's block and street structure, are streetcar lines and trolley lines. And so when people say, well, you can't put transit in Milwaukee, in fact, Milwaukee was a city and neighborhoods that were built around transit. And those places are increasingly becoming more and more popular as neighborhoods to be in, you know, like in Bayview and other places, because they have unique qualities of being great shops, great restaurants, places to walk to, and are really unique experiences in terms of an expression of a culture, an expression of a city.
When you were in Milwaukee, a city planner, you were part of a team that many thought of from an urban standpoint, urban planning standpoint, as being visionary. You know, John Norquist may have made a lot of enemies, you know, not caring what other people thought, but this is what he thought, and he got it done. Do you think that city leadership, civic leadership, and business leadership, too, in Milwaukee has enough of that drive and strong opinions to, you know, in an economy that's not booming the way it is in Denver, to make things happen?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, you know, I think it's clear to me that the private sector and the public sector need to work together, right? I mean, we can't, in no part of the country, can we rely solely on government. And so there need to be much more clear partnerships of why government, you know, should be involved in the regulatory realm to make improvements to the regulations, to make the right kind of infrastructure investments, so that the private sector can be successful. You know, it takes a lot of leadership and it takes a lot of commitment to those ideas. They're not always popular, but, you know, sometimes looking out for the long term, you do have to act in the near term. When we talked about, for example, taking down the Park East Freeway, if you talked about taking down the Park East Freeway because you were trying to make an anti-car or anti-automobile or anti-freeway argument, you really wouldn't get very far. And what we were able to do in discussion of creation of the downtown plan and further discussions, and especially the downtown and the neighborhood communities, to understand that if the freeway weren't there, there are all kinds of new opportunities for investment, right? The freeway, standing the way it is, elevated, really is an impediment to investment happening. And the downtown had proven itself to be a place for investment. The Riverwalk proved to be a catalyst for investment. And the elevated freeway was easier to portray the freeway as an impediment to something that was more desirable. To me, I think that's one example of many of changing the conversation to talk about what you're for and then articulating it and getting as many partners, both in the public sector and the private sector, the nonprofit sector, the neighborhoods, the property owners, employers, to say, this idea makes sense to all of us. We should all get behind it.
So you're talking about dramatic changes in the built environment in the Third Ward and Walker's Point, so many different neighborhoods in Milwaukee. But when you come back here, do you look at parts of Milwaukee like the Park East Freeway land and say, why isn't change happening faster here?
I do sometimes. Yes, I do. I have noticed that a lot of the private properties in and around the Park East seem to be getting developed. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about what the process is for the land disposition and the sales. But it clearly, to me, I mean, there are a number of investments that one can observe, you know, whether it's, the major investment at Manpower and then a number of other sites nearby, there seems to be investor confidence. I mean, I think that will continue. You know, the rate of absorption and the rate of development, I think, is moving along. I don't know if it's significantly stronger or softer than it has been in the past, but it still seems to be pretty steady. And every time I come back to Milwaukee, there's always something new to see, which I'm very happy about.
Well, thank you so much for joining us from your office in Denver.
Thank you.
Peter Park is manager of community planning and development for the city of Denver. He was Milwaukee city planner under former Mayor John Norquist. All the interviews in our economic development series are archived on our website, WUWM.com, along with reports from the WUWM News Department. Next Thursday, November 15th, we'll host a forum on economic development, Project Milwaukee, Creating a Vibrant Regional Economy. Details are also on our website. Coming up, an effort to confront violent crime, which involves the whole community, including the offenders themselves. The Safe Streets Initiative, next on Like Effect.